From the recent good Ofsted rating for children's services, the Channel 4 TV show Kids, which looks at teenagers and their families in the care system in the city, to the launch of Child Friendly Cov, a project which looks to ensure that our city is the best city in the UK for children and young people to live and grow up in. There's certainly a buzz in the air for the great work taking place to support the young people in our city. With me to take a closer look at some of this work is Councillor Pat Seaman, Cabinet Member for Children and Young People in Coventry, and Matt Clayton, Strategic Lead for Looked After Children at Coventry City Council. So hi both, thank you for joining me.
Hi, nice to see you, Aaron.
Hi there.
So let's take a bit of an overview to begin with. Councillor Seaman, if you wouldn't mind just giving me an idea of some of the needs and challenges that the young people and children in our city face.
Right, so it's not an easy question to start with right at the very beginning, is it? Because what we're talking about here are families that can be affected in many different ways, be it the cost of living crisis, be it domestic violence that might be happening, be it struggling with everyday life. So sometimes families will have multi-layered impacts of some of these issues, and it makes it really difficult to focus. It makes it really difficult to do your best in regards to raising your children and getting the right support at the right time. So what we do at Coventry City Council and what we do with Children's Services is we try and put our arms around those families to be an open door for people to come in and share their concerns and worries before they get too much, before they become overwhelming. So the work that we do in our family hubs, the work we do with our foster carers, the work that we do with our frontline children's services, we're all there to support those families at the time when they most need it.
I think that's the thing, isn't it, is that there's no one size fits all for the needs of families and young people. So making sure there's a holistic approach, I guess, is packages of care, is it, Matt?
Yeah, completely. And I think, sort of like Councillor Seaman said, actually the needs of our families vary massively. But actually what we want to do is be helping people at the right time. And so I think often people think that sort of children's services are just here to help when things go really wrong. But actually we put a lot of emphasis on our family hubs that are spread across the city that are there to help families at that early stage where maybe actually they are struggling with the cost of living. Maybe they're struggling managing relationships, and actually we want to get in there and help at that early stage sort of to stop things escalating further, to try and actually make sure support's there as and when family need it. And we work really closely with our partners, with our schools, with our health colleagues, police colleagues, to make sure actually that support is there when it's needed at the right time. And that's really important. It's sort of, that's that whole thing, isn't it? It takes a village to raise a child. And that's sort of really the ethos of Children's Services as well. But actually, we want to work across the whole partnership with our voluntary partners as well to make sure actually the whole city is coming together to support children and young people as needed.
Yeah, I think that was going to lead on to my next question, was around how are those families identified? How often is it that they're coming to the services, or how often is it that they're identified through partner organisations?
I think it's a real mix, I would say. So actually, obviously we have our family hubs out and around the city. And so quite often families will go there for help. But a lot of the help we give to families is through referrals in from different agencies. So some of that is our statutory partners like health, education, police. Sometimes that's from voluntary sector partners. And so, and it really depends on what the needs of the family are, families are, into sort of where that help sits. So a lot of that help, like I said, is that more early help type help. It's sort of, helping around budgeting, helping around parenting skills. But we do have to work right through to where there's much more serious issues within families, where there might be situations around abuse, neglect. And that's when obviously we have to sort of be more involved in a more statutory footing. So it's a very varied work, but obviously the earlier we can get involved the better, because then hopefully we can prevent things from escalating further.
I think it's really important to recognise it's also about building relationships with families and having those spaces where that can happen, so those issues can be identified early on. And also it's about working with those families in a supportive way, so recognising their strengths and then identifying some of those weaknesses to build on those strengths that they've already got. So it's really important that we recognise that children's services is about a supportive working with, because it is about ensuring that where possible, that children stay with their families, with their communities, with their wider networks, and that realizing that children only come into the care of the authority when it's absolutely imperative that it is to do so.
Something I touched upon at the beginning was Child Friendly Cov. So a new project to make sure that our city is the best city in the UK for children and young people to live and grow up in. Who wants to give me a bit of an overview of how that started and maybe some of the vision behind it?
Okay, I'll kick us off then. I think, so this sort of started out, we've been working as Children's Services alongside colleagues from Leeds around sort of actually making sure, like Councillor Seaman said, that we've, our whole approach is relational, is restorative, about working with families and not doing too. And as part of that work, we started looking at what Leeds were doing around child-friendly. So Leeds is a child-friendly city. They were the first city in the UK to be child-friendly and have been for about 10 years now. Actually, they just had King Charles up to celebrate their 10-year anniversary as a child-friendly city. And when we started chatting to our children, young people and families about what we want to do in Coventry, actually, there was quite a lot of healthy competition saying, well, actually, we can be child-friendly. We can be the best place for children and young people to grow up in. So that's where sort of the idea of child-friendly came from. It was about making sure that Coventry was the best place for children and young people to live and grow up in. And we've got done a lot of work to get to this stage in that it, ultimately, we want all our partners to come together. This isn't about the city council doing something. It's about actually the whole city doing stuff. So actually that's our universities, our businesses, our voluntary sector, all coming together to see actually how can we make Coventry the best place to live in and grow up in for our children and young people. Too often we see in the news some of the things that are go wrong for young people in the city. So some of the youth violence that we've seen, but actually there's a lot of amazing things that go on already in the city. So we wanted to celebrate them, bring them together, and then sort of see how we can develop those things further and work with partners. And what we're finding already is there's all sorts of different organisations that are really keen to do more for children and young people, but maybe they didn't know how, maybe they weren't connected with the right groups. So actually we're sort of helping facilitate. One of the part of the Coventry, One Coventry vision is the council as an enabler. And that's a big part of what this Child Friendly Cov is actually enabling that work to happen across the city and sort of building those partnerships and just really giving children and young people opportunities and hopefully making them feel proud of the city and realizing that we're proud of them. And ultimately that would be a real success for us. We want everyone in the city to be proud of the city and children and young people to be able to feel their ownership in that as well.
It's really strange for me because I've been working with Matt and Councillor Seaman from almost the beginning of Child Friendly Cov in my capacity with Etch and Pin. I've been supporting Matt around this stuff. So it's strange to be hearing the stuff come out of Matt's mouth that we've talked about for the last, 18 months it must be now since it first started. There's been a huge amount of work taking place. As someone, obviously, Councillor Seaman, that's seen the team kind of do this and develop, how have you seen it from the outside point of view?
Well, from the outside point of view, I think it's really important to recognise that far too long we've never really heard the voice of children and young people in our city and their right to own what we do in the city and to influence not only in terms of policy making as a councillor, but in terms of jobs, their futures, their education, their leisure time, what they would like to see in terms of facilities, their green spaces, their parks, their safety, their health, their well-being, their mental health. So we really need to be listening to our children and young people. So child-friendly Cov, being a Cov kid, is just amazing. It's fantastic. And it's about growing that ethos and making it real and seeing it through. And growing our partnerships so we all own this and truly make Coventry child-friendly.
Yeah, I remember at the launch event that we had a couple of months ago, the importance of hearing children's voices was something that really resonated with us. But I know that was something you spoke about in your kind of opening speech as part of it. But how do we make sure we're really listening and acting some of that stuff?
Right. As you've heard, we have not only myself, but a whole of Children's Services and the whole of Council. We're really passionate. You've got to be passionate about this and you've got to really buy into it. So I do a lot of work with elected members, helping them understand their role as corporate parents for our looked after children. But the knock on effect is there an understanding for the wider need of all of our children right across the city, be it in education, be it in apprenticeships, be it in vocational opportunities and our responsibility to make sure that we have the best offer for them. So because at the end of the day, it's about those that make the decisions. but how we collate the information, how we get informed about the right decisions that we need to be making. So that is about the impact. That's about the added value. And that is what will make Coventry child-friendly.
Something that we're really keen to do is to make sure that child-friendly carving isn't just a logo that goes on things. Can you give me some examples of work that's been taking place as a result of the feedback of our young people?
Yeah, no, definitely, Anne. So I think one good example, which I really like, I know yourself and one of Team James went into some of the schools to do focus groups early on about actually what do children and young people want to be part of child-friendly cough? What did they see that looking like? And I remember one of the things that came out was around mental health and young people saying that actually, you know, they knew they could speak to adults about mental health concerns, emotional well-being concerns, but sometimes they were worried about friends, didn't know how to support one another, and sort of talked about the idea of peer champions in schools. And so off the back of that, we've worked with our colleagues in the commissioning side of the organisation, Public Health, and now we're piloting across two primary and two secondary schools this year, going forward with mental health well-being peer champions in those schools. And hopefully that pilot will be successful, and then we can then roll that out to schools across the city. You know, we want to be like the first city that's got mental health peer champions in every school. And so I think for me, that's a massive example, because, you know, that came from our young people, as then affected commissioning arrangements and is now being rolled out. And to me, that's the sort of they're the sort of things that we want to see happening more and more. And there's lots of other examples, but that's just one that's a really good one of actually, and that's already sort of starting to come to fruition in a pilot. But I think, like Councillor Seaman said, to me, this the whole thing is about actually being bold in hearing the voices of our children and young people. I think about sort of what we've done recently working with Channel 4 with the kids TV show. And again, actually, I'm really proud that Coventry did that. When you speak to sort of Channel 4 and Expectations Coming, they said actually, before they worked with us, they approached loads of local authorities about doing things like this. But most local authorities didn't want to go anywhere near them because they didn't want to take the risk about looking bad. But actually, I was really proud to work for an authority where from sort of John, our director, Councillor Seaman and other politicians said actually, it's more important that these children's voices are heard than whether that makes Coventry look good or bad. And I think that's a really brave sort of leadership that we have in Coventry that says actually the voices of our children need to be heard. And actually we need to hear the uncomfortable stuff as well. And actually it's not about sort of dressing up and making sure that we look good in it. It's actually if we're going to have real change, then actually we need to hear exactly what they have to say about what's working and what's not working and be brave enough to take that truth on.
How hard is it to be brave as a cabinet? Is it difficult, or is it something that comes natural to the elected members?
I think sometimes you're asked to make decisions that do have risks attached to them. And it is about weighing up the benefits and who it's going to benefit. So in particular, you know, the risk around this particular Channel 4 programme, I felt very passionate about that story, that voice. Those experiences needed to be told, and to actually see the impact it's had on those young people, their self-esteem, their confidence, and the knock-on effect from being a part of that programme has just been a joy to watch and to see. But also the impact in helping others, not only in Coventry, but nationally and beyond, to understand those life stories of those individuals. And we could have thousands of life stories because they're all different. But what's important to show is the support, the care, the love, the joy, the hurt, the passion to make a difference that is exposed through something like this is really important thing to show and other people to be proud of, but to help others understand exactly where the council tax goes sometimes, because it's not just about potholes. It's not just about bins. It's children's and young people's lives that we're talking about here. So to me, it's a really important aspect of what we do in helping not only our city, but nationally, the importance of listening and seeing these stories and also shouting out to, and I'll be a bit political here, to national government to make sure that we resource our services well, that, you know, we support those foster carers in doing their work and that, you know, we ensure that funding is spent in the right way and that not huge profits is made out of delivering respite, out of delivering placements for some of our most vulnerable children and young people.
Yeah, I think it's what I was about to ask is around what is the benefit to the local when something goes national? So funding, I guess, is a big part, but what is the importance for Coventry being seen as at the forefront of children's services?
I think there's a range of things. I think ultimately there's obviously benefits to Coventry directly. So I think in the time that I worked in Coventry and sort of since I qualified for social work in 2008, I've seen that massive improvement journey from some very dark days through to actually being in a much stronger position. And I think actually part of that has been being willing to look outwards. I think when I first started working, Coventry was quite insular looking, but under sort of the leadership of John and Councillor Seaman and others, actually been much more embraced actually what's going on well elsewhere, where can we learn, and then where can we contribute as well. And I think that's really helped in terms of bringing funding into the city, in terms of innovation. One of the things I'm really proud of to lead in Coventry is the Lifelong Links, which was a part of DfE innovation funded pilot where we worked with 8 different authorities and the Family Rights Group to trial actually supporting our looked after children and care leavers to build relationships that mattered, re-establish relationships and make sure of their support to maintain them into adult life. That was then something that the care review saw as good practice as now being expanded across the country. So I think actually gives you the opportunity then, if you're innovating, if you're being involved in those things, to actually build best practice and then help to influence other places, and then other places learn from us. It's been fascinating to go from an authority where we were always visiting other people to learn, which we still do because we're always keen to learn and have that, but actually lots of people coming to see us to see, well, how are you doing this? Reunification is another great example, actually, which features in Kids, actually, in that first episode with Zorin and his mum. Actually, reunification is something Coventry's doing miles ahead of a lot of other places. So reunification is all about working with looked after children to return them to the care of their families. So, you know, where situations might have changed a bit, instead of what I think has historically happened sometimes is children, once they're in care, sort of for a long period, stay there until they reach 18, actually going, actually, these situations, let's revisit this. Have things changed? How can we now put the support into a family to that it might now be the right time for this young person to return? And so we've sort of piloted that as a project, and it's been incredibly successful in terms of the outcomes for those young people. Some of our young people that are really struggling in the care system in their teenage years have returned to family and now back in education, training, employment, have stopped missing episodes. We've rebuilt those relationships. And, you know, that's been looked at by sort of the Department for Education and other forces and go, wait a minute, what are you doing here? This is quite innovative, different. And now we've got sort of different people coming to visit. It was actually, there was a really interesting article written off the back of Kids, which a journalist came and just wrote about our reunification project, because she contacted us and she's like, I've never seen anything like this, like, in years of covering social care. This is a really different way of working. And it's not what people think of when they think about social work. They don't think about actually people maybe putting families back together further down the line. So actually being able to do something innovative that then is helping to shape the national picture, I think is really exciting. And so I think, yeah, I think it benefits Coventry children, but actually I think, you know, it's great to contribute to sort of things that can hopefully benefit children across the country as well, and sort of play our part in that, and sort of hope it, sort of getting more change for children in the care system and the families that need it.
A couple of months ago, obviously I work quite closely with the council and we talked about the work that I do with Child Friendly Cobb. However, a couple of months ago, the focus all changed to Ofsted. Ofsted was happening. There was the inspections that happened with children's services. And I saw the amount of hard work and hours that people put in. And obviously it came out as good rated. What's the importance of a good rating for Ofsted?
Well, it's very important to know that you're working to the best of your ability, that you're delivering those services and those projects to the best of your ability, that you're meeting your statutory duty, that you're working to the best of your ability to keep children safe in this city. So really, it is like a almost like a tick box exercise to know that you're doing the right thing in the right way, and recognising that we've travelled on a journey over a period of time in order to get that rating. but also it's about knowing that you're working in the right way at this moment in time in this snapshot. And it also helps you identify what more you need to do on that journey to becoming an outstanding authority. So it is an extremely pressurized period of time during that inspection process. And we have some of the most incredible leadership and frontline workers, whatever role they play within the organization, their commitment is second to none, and they always go beyond and above what they need to do. I'm incredibly honoured to be Cabinet Member for Children and Young People and to work with some of the most amazing people who love what they do. And that passion shines through on every day in terms of the work they do with our families.
Brilliant. Thank you both for your time. Are there any ways that people can find out more about the work of the team and the service?
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of ways to get involved in children's services if you want to do so. So I think have a look at the Child Friendly Cov website. That's a really good starting point, actually, if you want to become a supporter of Child Friendly Cov, especially maybe if you're have a business or sort of involved in a community sector, a sports club or something, actually like to see how we can get involved and get support of that. That's a great way to get involved. The other area that we're always really keen to hear from people is people that might think about fostering. So if you see through kids, actually, sort of with Danny and Rianne's story, the power of fostering to make a difference in children's lives. And so I'd encourage anyone, if you're in a situation where you think, actually, maybe we could do fostering, you can still work and foster. Actually, all you need to do to be able to foster is have a spare room. And we'd really encourage people to think about fostering. Actually, maybe that you can just offer some respite care at weekends. Maybe you can do it full time. But that's a real powerful way to help some of our most vulnerable children. And I think massively challenging, but massively rewarding. So that's another great way. So if you want to find out more about that, just search Foster with Coventry and you can find out about fostering with us as well.
So as we've heard from Councillor Seaman and Matt Clayton around Child Friendly Cov and the importance of making sure that our young people run through the work that the council is doing, it's important that our young people do get a voice and do get a say. And the guest I have with me now is Yannick, who I have seen firsthand hosting the Child Friendly Cov launch event earlier in the year. I was massively impressed of how he howled alongside Paris, howled the attention of the room, more professionally than I think that I would be able to do. He was wise beyond his years. And when I started to think about who I could speak to as part of this part of the podcast, Yannick jumped to mind. So I was really pleased when the team said Yannick was up for having a conversation with me. So Yannick, an absolute pleasure to have you with me today.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast.
So give me a bit of a history of you and Coventry. Tell me how you've got to the stage you are now around getting involved in the work the council's doing. Maybe just tell a bit of your backstory.
Okay, so I went into care 2015, and at the start, I absolutely hated social workers. I hated social care. I hated everything to do with the council. And it's because of the things I'd been told about social care and the council, the negative, the prejudice against them, and all of this fueled me at a young age just to start hating them. And then I went on and on with a social worker I didn't really like too much. And eventually she made it to the point where I would refuse to speak to social workers. And eventually I moved out of my old foster care home and into my semi-independence. And that's where I met my latest social worker, Suzanne, who has completely turned that around for me. And gave me new opportunities, one of which being the housing project. And the housing project has led me down many, many different paths. So the first thing, I think, big event that they let me do was the Care Leaver Awards of 2022. And that was an amazing experience. It really let me... I do love presenting. It's one of my favourite things to do. And being able to present in front of so many of my... I wouldn't call them peers, but they're quite similar in situation to me. It was absolutely amazing. And then from there, I just wanted to keep doing more because it's just such an adrenaline rush. It just feels so amazing to stand up and just talk. It's basically it, yeah.
And what's fueled that? Where's that come from in terms of your presentation? I've got to say, I, growing up, used to hate public speaking. It was something that I never used to like doing. Anytime I had to stand up and talk when I was at school, I never used to like it. When I went to university, I used to hate doing group presentations. Is presenting and being on show something you've always enjoyed?
I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea. At a young age, I was like, in like the year six play, I was the background guy. I was terrified to go on stage. I'd forget all my lines. I wouldn't be able to do it. But at a certain point, I just realised, yeah, you might not be able to memorise the script, but you can speak the entire work of Shakespeare three times over in five different languages. Not literally, don't take that seriously. And I realised that it's just a talent to be able to free flow, and I've got to be able to use that talent in some way. So this is probably the best way I can do it for now.
I think the thing that changed for me, and I think that's what you're almost saying there, was about speaking from the heart. So when things changed for me was when I was talking about the work that I do in Coventry and writing children's books and stuff like that. And actually, I can't be proven wrong when I'm talking about my experience. Whereas when I was at school and when I was at university, there were teachers there who could say, no, you've got that wrong there. Whereas now, actually, I'm talking from the heart. Is that something that you kind of find helps with your talking?
Yeah, definitely. Like, for example, on last Thursday, I can't exactly remember the speaker who came up, but they spoke about their battles with race. And when I came back up to the podium as the co-host, I started speaking to the crowd and I didn't have any lines prepared. I didn't even know what she was going to say. But just straight from the heart, I was immediately like, wow, it's so powerful to hear your struggles with race and how your determination has pushed you through this, how powerful of a story it was as well. And from that, I could just see the whole crowd going, yep. Nice work. Good one, lad. Because it's just straight from the heart. Yeah.
And I've seen it. I saw it firsthand at the Child Friendly Cove. And I think I was at the Care Leavers Award as well when you previously hosted that. I think it's hugely commendable to be able to do that at your age. I don't think I'm said at the beginning, but you're only 17, makes it even more special. I remember when I was 17, I could hardly speak to my family members, let alone 300 people in a room. So have you got any ideas of where you'd like to go in the future with your presenting?
I don't think I'll be presenting as much. I'll definitely still be up on the stage presenting, but I want to go into business. And obviously you need to be boisterous. You need to be bold. You need to be able to hold the attention of a room of people. So I think the skill will help me immensely, but I don't think I'll go into like public speaking, but I think I'll be able to use the skill for myself in the future.
I was wondering whether or not something like radio or something, I can imagine you on radio, but I think actually the experience you gain. So I do a lot of now business pitches, etc., with my businesses, and being able to talk passionately really comes across. And I think is actually what people want to root for. And you've naturally got that, which I think is really great. How about other things that you get involved with then? Obviously it's the presenting and the hosting side. What else do you do with the city council?
So another thing I do is I mentioned before the house project. And the house project is basically a course to independence in simple terms. You come here, you engage with a group of people who slowly start to become your family, whether you like it or not. And eventually they teach you how to live independently. They give you every skill you need, from managing money, cooking, cleaning, managing a tenancy, personal hygiene, sexual health, everything down to the nitty and gritty of it. And I'm not going to lie, I love my housing project group. They're amazing, all of them. And we do things together within the housing project aspect of going places. Like, we went to Alton Towers, we've been to Backdown, we do extracurricular activities together, we'll go out together. We've slowly become friends over time, and now we're soon hopefully going to be living down the road from each other, all of us.
And is it something that you can share your experience with other people, with other young people? Is that something you get the opportunity to do?
Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm in semi-independence, so I've got other people living with me as well. And when I go home, so a couple of months ago when I was still doing sessions, I would go home, I'd be like, mate, session was sick. And they'd be like, oh, well, I want to join the housing project. And I'd be like, you're a bit old. what age is it to start now? 16. Yeah, so you've got to be 16 to join, or my roommates are 17. But, and if anyone's watching this and, 16, I highly advise you get your social worker to recommend you to the housing project. But it is a very good thing to be able to go back to my fellow care leavers and be like, yo, the housing project is absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely amazing. And then be visibly jealous with the stuff I'm getting up to.
So alongside the roles that you have, how about education? Are you still in education at the moment? And what do you do then? How do you juggle that between having the extra roles that you do with education?
Oh, it's fairly easy, to be fair. I'm not going to lie. So I'm a business and health and social care student, and I plan on going to university next year. But because I'm a sixth form student, the timetable is more of a lenient timetable. So say, for example, tomorrow I had an activity where I needed to be in Manchester, but I had school. I ring up the school. I say, right, I'm not going to be in. I'm just going to do the work at home. I'm going to email my teachers, tell them I've done the work at home. And they'll be like, yep, okay, cool. As long as they know where I am. So that's literally the base of it.
How would you encourage other people, not necessarily just with the housing stuff, but in terms of being able to do stuff similar to what you do? Is there ways in for people to get more involved?
I think the only way you can get more involved in a general sense is having, one, a sense of responsibility. If you don't have a sense of responsibility, I cannot advise you get involved. I know this is kind of counterintuitive, but it's very important. You might want to get involved, but if you have a lack of sense of responsibility, there's no point. And the second thing you'll want to do is, if you're a care leaver or someone in care, just speak to your social worker. Say, yo, I want to do more. That's what I did, basically. I was like, I have nothing to do. I'm bored in this house. I'm in the house 24/7. I never leave. I don't even go shopping. I get my food delivered to me. I need something to do. Please help me. And she was literally like, yeah, well, there's this thing called the house project coming up. And I was like, wow, I'll do it. So it's just seeing what's available. There's tons of opportunities available by the council. I should know I'm taking part in most of them. But as long as you ask your social worker, is there anything for me to do? More than likely, there will be something, and more than likely, you will be able to get involved.
How would you improve the lives of younger people in Coventry? I've put you on the spot here.
Actually, that links into my business plan very well. So when I was doing up my business plan, I noticed a niche in Coventry, and it's that young people in Coventry have absolutely nothing to do, like near nothing. Like, we can go to the cinema, we can go to the gym, but our nearest bowling alley is in like near Wycombe or something like that. And also arcade in Wycombe. And there is no entertainment in the city centre. So what I decided was, you know what? When I start my business, it's going to be an arcade. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring entertainment to the city centre. You guys come in, you can have a day out in the arcade. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Cheap arcade too. So you can come in for a reasonably long time. And then it just gives young people something to do, a mood booster. Oh, should we go Yankees today? Yeah, let's go. Cool, so-and-so, let's go down. And then they come down, they have an amazing day, they go back home, they talk about it, and they're like, yo, next week, do you want to go to Yankees again? Yeah. It just gives them something to do and improves their lives ever so slightly, but it gives them something to do as well.
Yeah, I spent my youth in arcades. I'm a massive advocate for arcades, and it is something we don't have in the city. So I am hopeful that if you let a 40-year-old guy come and play in the arcade as well as the young people, that's fine with me. Yannick, an absolute pleasure, man. Honestly, I'm massive fan of what you're doing. I've seen it multiple times, and maybe you'll see firsthand when you do start to make a difference, and that would be infectious, and you'll continue to make a difference, not just to corporate people in suits at events, but actually to the young people of the city. So thank you for your time. I do really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you again too.
So this is an interview that's extra special for me. So if we're going to talk about young people in the city, and we're going to talk about making sure we're listening to the views of our young people, I've got the two perfect people with me today. So I have my boys, Oscar and Caleb, with me today, who I'm going to ask them a few questions about Coventry, what their opinions are about the city, and let's see how it goes. So Oscar and Caleb, a pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to have you too.
Pleasure to have you.
Hello, Caleb.
Hello.
So, you know we live in Coventry. So I'm going to ask you about five places in Coventry, and I want you to tell me what comes to mind when you think about them. So first off, Lady Godiva. So tell me what you think about Lady Godiva. What do you know about Lady Godiva?
Well, I know she did something for the homeless people by lowering the taxes.
Yeah. We should know this because I wrote a book about Lady Godiva, so you two should have extra special knowledge about Lady Godiva. So, Caleb, tell me what you know about Lady Godiva.
She's in a statue.
In a statue. And can you remember why? Why is she famous?
Because she rode a horse naked.
Very good. 10 out of 10. Right, next one I'm going to ask you about is Coventry Cathedral. What do you think about Coventry Cathedral?
It reminds me when in World War II, when it got bombed and like how we remade another one next to it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Caleb, what do you think about Coventry Cathedral?
I think that it's tall. It's got a long pointy thing at the top and it has a big brown square cuboid and a big brown triangle at the top.
Very good. Very good. So let's talk about, can you remember what's at Herbert Art Gallery and Museum? Can you remember what's there?
There is the mould of a skeleton of a Diplodocus.
Caleb, what's that Diplodocus called?
Dippy.
Dippy the dinosaur. And what did you think when we went to see that?
It was ginormous and I couldn't believe how big it was. The tail was as big as the head.
Wow. What did you think, Oscar? Was it cool to have a dinosaur in Coventry?
Yeah, like when you think about it, it's like an actual dinosaur from like 15,000 years ago. Wow,
millions of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so is it cool to see?
It's cool to see.
Okay, how many was that? So that was three. So how about four? Can you think of something to do with... Tell me what Coventry University is.
It's a university that...
What do you do when you're at university?
You learn different like opportunities for a work.
Okay. And roughly what age do you think you are when you go to university?
16, 17.
Oh, close. 18, 19, 20, 21. Very good. Caleb, do you know what a university is?
It's somewhere where there's teenagers who do different jobs.
Oh, close. They learn about things ready for when they do get a job. Very close. Let me think of somewhere else. Oh, here you go. Tell me what you think about the wave.
The wave is a really really friend to families. If you go there, there won't be like it. Like there's an age limit, but there's like it's not like it's height, not age.
Okay.
So
what do you do when you're at the wave?
We go on really good rides and some are tubes, some are just a circle that you can swim around on. And some, even they can have a big swimming pool where some people can swim if they want.
Good stuff. Sounds like you know lots about Coventry. What's your thoughts about living in Coventry? Do you like living in Coventry?
Yeah, I like living in Coventry. It's fun. It's also fun, like, exploring the world. Like, that's a... Like, not saying I don't like Coventry, because I do like Coventry. And it's like, what we have here, not many other places do have.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Coventry, Caleb?
It's fun. You can do lots of things there. You can go to the cathedral. You can go anywhere.
That's really good. Do you think when you're older, can you imagine yourself living in Coventry?
Yeah, I think like I can imagine myself living here. It'll be fun and like I will be exploring other places as well.
So around the world, so visiting and travelling. That's good. Caleb, how about you? Do you think you'll live in Coventry when you're older?
Yeah, I think there is so much fun here. So I might just want to stay here for like when I get to 20. Maybe like 50.
Okay. Very good. These are some very good responses to my questions. If you were to encourage your friends to visit one place in the city, what would you encourage them to visit?
I would encourage them to visit the Lady Godiva statue because that's a big piece of Coventry.
I would visit the cathedral.
That's good. Thank you for being a guest on my podcast.
Pleasure.
It's a pleasure too.